The AIBP ASEAN B2B Growth Podcast is a series of fireside chats with business leaders in Southeast Asia focused on growth in the region. Topics discussed include business strategy, sales and marketing, enterprise technology, and innovation.
Greetings and welcome to the ASEAN B2B Growth Podcast. In today's episode, we shine the spotlight on cybersecurity in Indonesia. This conversation took place during the 43rd edition of the ASEAN Innovation Business Platform Indonesia's conference and exhibition held at the Ritz-Carlton Jakarta, Mega Kuningan, with Mr. Ivan Kinesh, CEO and co-founder of Lysel, hosting the discussion, along with Pak Agustinas Adrianto, Associate Informatics Specialist, the ICT Department of West Java Provincial Government, Pak Andri Permono, Vice President of IT Security at Dana Indonesia, and Pak Yudhistira Nugraha, Director at Jakarta Smart City, on the current state of cybersecurity in Indonesia.
Thank you very much. So I guess we will do a bit more deeper introduction of each other. I will pass it to Andri first to talk a bit more about yourself.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Andri. I'm from Dana Indonesia. Currently, I'm working with the e-wallet company. So this is quite a new startup in the industry. So we have dealing with some of the security challenges. Probably we can elaborate that in the discussions further.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Andri. Agus?
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Agustinus Andrianto. I'm from West Java Provincial Government, and currently I'm working at the Division of Information Security and Crypto. And now, like, we also have some programs about information security in our organization that maybe I can elaborate later. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yudi?
Okay, good afternoon. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I'm Yudhistira Nugraha, Director of Jakarta Smart City. Today, I'm happy also to see one of my senior as a civil servant, Pak Ardi. It's a long time not see Pak Ardi. So we are working closely on the first stages of building the cybersecurity capacity in Indonesia. I think since 10 years ago, I think it's kind of like 10 years ago. I think today's topic is very interesting when dealing with how do we manage the cyber risk in digital age. This is something we can discuss further. Thank you.
Thank you. And a little bit more about myself. So my name is Ivan Kinash. I run the company that's called Lysel. And we've been fighting abuses of mobile applications for 12 years. And as we all know, the cybersecurity industry is ever-changing. So 10 years ago, we had to deal with one set of threats and attack vectors. Right now, we are dealing with an absolutely different set of attack vectors. So we will cover a little bit of that, but we will spark the conversation with some examples of recent attacks. So I will pass it to Yudi. You go first.
Okay.
So what kinds of recent attacks you've encountered, and what were the mitigations, and if you were able to completely prevent those attacks, that would be also very cool to know.
Okay, thank you for the question. Before I start answering that question, let me give some brief understanding about what the topic today is about. You mentioned about the protect, detect, and recover. Or this is something talking about managing risk. When we're talking about the protect, so you have to understand about what asset you have. So I think in our context or other company context, when we're talking about how do we protect our asset, so we're talking about the infrastructure, we're talking about the data, and we're talking about the software. And the second thing is about detect. When we're talking about detection, so it's kind of like how do we monitor, how do we get alert when something happens, and how do we get stay confirmed when when the incident happened in terms of the threat intelligence, and how do we manage, how do we respond when incident happen? It's kind of like incident response. And the last thing, when we're talking about the recover, so we're talking about the backup and recover. How do you call your name?
My name?
Yeah.
Ivan?
Ivan. Ivan just asking us to prepare one joke.
Because yes, that was the case.
Just one joke. What you have to prepare one joke before we go to the stage. And I told him that talking about the joke is also already jokes. Back to the question, when you talk about recover, backup and storage, backup and disaster recovery, something that's very interesting. When we invest the backup, well, you guys you just invest money. You spend a lot of money to backup these kind of things because we don't know until the breach happen. When the breach happen, the backup is very important. We have to invest the backup. Yeah. You know, this is something that this is a joke because before the incident happened, backup is useless because whatever we do, let's say for ransomware, for example. What happened when ransomware happened? Unfortunately, we don't have backup. So we need to invest the backup. But before that, we invest the backup. You spend a lot of money to backup everything because there's no incident happened. Just a joke. And this is something about the protect and also talking about the detect and recover. And back to your question, what the biggest cyber attack?
Something recent?
Anything
that you'd like to share?
Well, something recent. I'm not talking about something recent, but I'm going to talk about our experience in the last three years. So one of the biggest attack that we have been facing experience is like DDoS attack. But you know, the motive of DDoS, there's two ways, about political and normally like financial motive. But this is very interesting. The DDoS coming to our system when our leader talking about something. When the leaders finishing the speech and the attack coming to our system. So these kind of things. And one of the biggest attack recently, or not recently actually, is like for the 3 years ago. Within 3 years, I don't want to make a specific time because it's very important. Like during the three years period, I think one of the biggest attack that has been facing, has been experienced in our system is a DDoS attack. This is big because we cannot do anything. Our service is not able to access. It's not a user, citizen not able to access our system. So we have to manage these kind of things. So immediate response that we have taken is, we make separate configuration to make it the system can be accessed by citizen. But in the future, we have to look after how to build the secure and robust network or robust infrastructure to make sure that the DDoS attack can be mitigated well, something like that.
Yeah, it's still a thing. So DDoS is massive and it's used a lot in political games. So yeah, that's totally understood. Beautiful. Thank you very much. I will pass it to Agus. Agus, any prominent attacks you would like to share with us?
Yeah, thank you for the question. For government sector, because much of government website, they don't prevent for attack or doing some kinds of security defenses. So usually the most attack in website government usually is about defacement. And then also in the recent years, it's also about online gambling. So that's the two most attack that come to our organization. We have many agencies in the local government of West Java province, and there are about 47 agencies, and each of them have a website and also their application. And mostly what I see is that two kind of attacks is the most.
Roger that. And finally, some very interesting stuff from the private sector, Andre.
Okay. Currently, my company is in the financial business. So we are bridging from customer with the peers from the banking, the the other sectors like the e-commerce. And the most interesting that we recently get the attack from the last 1 year, the first will be the phishing attack. So because people want to tend to get a contact offer from someone else's account, and the simple things is to do the phishing. So they try to social engineering the people, pretending probably like the formal staff from our company, and they're trying to help, but it is not trying to help, but they're trying to get take over the account and transferring all the money to themselves. And then the things that I'm seeing from the last 1 year is dealing with the bot attack. So the bot attack is the automations. Majority of the financial sector is try to avoiding like money laundering and also the gambling. So the things that probably we don't know, either the customer is part of that, but we see that the tendency, the characteristics of the gambling, try to hitting so many times in the endpoints. So the API will be the targeted. So if we are insecure the API, so probably they will be get to be used by other peoples. And the third will be probably similar, because the financial sector getting hits more and more, and then getting more impact. Let's say we have like very significant growth in terms of the customer numbers in term for the last 5 years of operating, and then they try to get the popularity by hitting like those. So basically, unavailable service will be the one of the also the targeting that we are seeing.
Thank you very much. I'll just reinforce the aspect that was connected to phishing. So that's a massive problem globally. We hear about that in every single country. And it could be just social engineering. It could be hybrid approach where there are some vulnerabilities being identified, and then bad actors play tricks with victims and try to implement their strategy via lying to them, essentially, or doing some interesting things, which kind of leads to during the preparation for the panel discussion, we touched the topic of education and human resource. So let's talk a little bit about that. And Agus had some points on human resource and just education in general.
Oh yeah, thank you. Like in local governments, human resource is a thing big issue, especially like in local government that is not focused on merely just IT, because like in our case, in provincial government, we have 47 agencies, and like the IT agencies is only one of them, and like not considered as big agencies compared to others. So, but like if anything happens, like about in information security incident, then like the problem is then it is us that like us to solve that problem. But now, so here, like the problem is how like we can educate or like growing the security awareness to the people that most of them are not in IT related background. That's the problem. And they use system, they use application, but then they are not aware about the security is our problem. So there are several programs in our division. Like we have a monthly webinar. So we invite some expert that talk about the IT security awareness or related to IT security. And then also we have like weekly news. We call it as Monday information security news. Yeah. In the form of flyers, then we circulate it in WhatsApp group. And then also, because we are provincial government, so also we coordinate with any other local governments in West Java province that is smaller than us. It is like city and regency governments. So like several times in a year, we like organize some events to like some kind of trainings and also invite some experts. Yes, some are from BSSN or any others to like raise their capacity about information security. It's also, then we invite also agencies in our institution, but like maybe it's not too effective because what I said that many people that manage IT in many agencies, actually they are not IT background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's part of some our programs that we regularly have every year.
I really liked one of the examples that you share. So essentially, what the department does sometimes sends fake phishing emails, which is pretty cool. So you will get an email from, actually that's an official email from the government agency. And then can you tell us more about the success of this operation?
Yeah, once like we met an experiment, like we have email server and like many people, employee of West Java Provincial Government have email account, then we try to send them a message. Actually, it's like a kind of what is simulation, phishing simulation. So then many of them then click the link that we provide, and then we just send them a message to them, give message to them, okay, this phishing, you should not like click that link. And like also we inform what is characteristic of email that are considered as phishing.
That's very cool. And it just organically goes to you, UD, with your background in education as well. So can you tell us a bit more about what do you do to enable the younger generation to reinforce the security posture of Indonesia?
Yeah. Okay. When we're talking about the education, it's not only one entity that look after, but also it's kind of like self responsibility. But building the young generation or digital talent in cybersecurity or digital forensic or any other things related is very challenging, because we're not only teaching them to understand about the topic, but we need to provide them the experience. So therefore, even though, let's say, for example, in the UK, they provide the Center of Excellence. They provide like some campus that already provide the master degree or even the PhD degree in cybersecurity. But I think in Indonesia, some universities already have some programs, education in cybersecurity in many campuses, in many universities. But the problem is that students need to have some deep dive understanding about the what use cases that need to be solved. Let's say, for example, one of the university, so because I'm also teaching water in one campus, we have the capstone. Capstone means that we give understanding for the student to see the real problem. Let's say, for example, we work together with one company and the student come together with them, what the biggest risk happen in your company. Because sometimes company itself, they don't understand about risk register that they have as a priority risk that need to be mitigated. This is important because from the cybersecurity perspective, we not able to put appropriate measure if we don't know our enemy. So we need to see what the biggest risk that need to be, what the priority risk that need to be mitigated. And by doing that, we can put appropriate security control. So this part of the education, so to see how the young talented people solve the real problem and so forth through the capstone or deep dive or any other things. And the second thing, I think many communities, they already have like some like cast at the flag or any other event like bug bounty program. So this kind of thing, like to give the awareness. Giving the awareness, not just we provide the seminar, we provide the workshop, but to give the real cases. And also, we also talking about the threat model. So this is one of the best approach to see how the attacker will proceed the pilot. So we have to understand about the thinking of the attacker when they want to proceed the system. Let's say, for example, talking about the ransomware, many ransomware is happened in many cases. But if you see all the cases of the ransomware cases start from the people. They get the credential from the people, and after that, they deliver package or they deliver pilot on the system, and then by putting the pilot in the system, they start breach. And they start the breach and they start affect, take the control. Because when you're looking at the way of attack can be compromised, start like survey attacks. They see which vulnerability that can be compromised with hole that can be put in place. And the second one is about how we deliver the pilot or malware, for example. And after that, how do we breach? And the last one about effect, taking the control. So this is part of the education. I think from my perspective, because when talking about cybersecurity, it's not only for the technical guy, because in some university in the world, they're also looking at cybersecurity from the broad perspective, from political science, for law perspective. So even though you're not from the computer science background, because like cybersecurity, from my perspective, that can be learned. Because in Indonesia, for example, one subject we're taking is cybersecurity subject. So the courses, the examination, the exam, we don't have the mid exam, final exam. We don't have at all for the mid exam. So we give them cases. So for the whole year, we give 3 cases. One case is about how do you deal with the data breach? And the third case is about how do you get this digital evidence when something happened. It's about digital forensic. And the third one is the final project is about cat the flags and how do you deliver attack to the system, this kind of thing. But this is about the process, something like that.
Exactly. So essentially, we've just breached 2 things. Campaigns like this, like fake phishing campaigns like this for a general audience, serve as the confirmation of the knowledge being consumed. So people become more aware of the risks. And Andriy, you get a hybrid question. So essentially, let's talk a little bit more about human resource and how the shortage of talent in Indonesia affects you. And also, let's kind of slowly transition into threat modeling response strategies and touch that.
Okay. Dealing with people, it is probably the most challenging factors. Talking about the talents, if we probably compare with the research coming from IC Square, they told us that for majority of the ASEAN countries, only 30% that can be supplied with the correct talent with the good experience and practicality in the field. So, yeah, this is can be quite contrast when we see between the supply and demand, because the demand is very high. Every company goes to digital. They need to have the instant resources that can be going to and running with the process. While at the supply things, because this is like have the very talented people, that will be challenging. Yeah. If probably we can, that interesting story that Pak Yudis also mentioned about the from the academic institutions. So I see that there is a growing number of the university that now talking about the subject of the cybersecurity. Previously, like 5 years back, it is probably only few of them, now getting more popular. But the things that have been seeing, reviewing their curriculum is the context of the curriculum goes to the implementation in the real world. Sometimes the curriculum, because the majority factor of the education part is about the teachers. So the teachers that probably have a very old approach will be not have the can teach with the student with the more recent technique and strategy dealing with the probably the cybersecurity. And that will be the problem, because in the real company, the resources probably may lack of visions of visibility and dealing with the practicality in the field. the things that probably we need to have the balance between the academic portion, because this will be the good supply from the for the most of the company, and then trying to combine with the how to get ensure that the resources coming from the academy being accelerated to have been as very skillful. Yeah, we can probably using that training approach, certification approach, but it is not guaranteed that we have like a very well people that knowing everything, because this is cybersecurity getting more complex. We dealing with new technology, probably not all people will easily understand about that. And we need to probably make that into the threat factor that as mentioned before. And this is probably our homework together, just to make sure that because we are the cybersecurity professional, we want to make sure that the business also, we can help the business to grow while to have also the secure and without being incorporated with one another. So, but basically this cannot be accelerated. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So I think it's time for us to dive a little bit into AI and machine learning. So for years and years and years, we've been relying on machine learning. It's not a new thing. It's been around for quite a while. So machine learning has been used for fraud prevention and fraud scoring for, yeah, lots of different things, essentially. And pattern recognition, just like lots of things. And right now, we get access to technologies like ChatGPT and so on and so forth. So let's briefly touch this topic and see how we can not be afraid of the technology, not being like, okay, we don't want to see that. Let's stop the progress. Let's hide from it. But how do we lead the way in terms of utilizing AI for reinforcing the security? So Yudi, if you can share your...
Talking about the AI and machine learning is a one area that is going to be growing interesting in cybersecurity. Because looking at the cybersecurity scope, so we're talking about the system. Mostly people talk about the system. And then coming with talking about the people. And now it's talking about the data. Because in terms of the scope of the cybersecurity, from the academic perspective or professional perspective, we look at the three areas: people, data, and system. And now people talk about AI and cybersecurity or machine learning and cybersecurity, because very interesting looking at, because talking about AI is nothing without the data, one thing. And in the security, let's say, for example, the authentication. Normally, authentication, I think most people here understand about what you have, what you know, what you are. What you know is about password. Password is, this is not secure. Okay, we edit what you have. A token, multi-factor, or any other thing, and what you are, your biometrics. But this is something that how to provide the secure authentication, secure identity. But some people always use behavior analytic. So you know about the continuous authentication. What the continuous authentication means that the continuous authentication is not just one step. So the process is always changing time to time. Let's say, for example, I want to access the system using my behavior. And after that, because using my behavior, that means that nobody can repeat. Nobody can replicate my behavior, right? So this is something how AI can also support the security system. And also, this one example. Another example is this, when you're talking about attacks are coming from external and also coming from the internal. Talking about the insider threat.
Yeah.
Insider threat is one of the biggest challenges. How do we deal with the insider threat? So normally, how do we mitigate insider threat is very challenging, because how we cope with this kind of attack? By using the AI, we can also deal with kind of things. Let's say, for example, behavior of the people. What this guy is about, like, is kind of anomaly, or this guy is kind of like not identified to the system, or we can catch the system. And we can also integrate to the instrument or any like SOC. Oh, something happened in this your network. You need to follow up this kind of thing. But we can use AI, machine learning, to learn the behavior of the people working in your system. So this, I mean, AI also matter in this context. And there is many things like, let's say, for example, it's about the threat intelligence. You know, like when you're talking about threat intelligence, there is some one about collection. So before the threat intelligence, we have to have this, the objective or what the purpose of the threat intelligence. But the process of the threat intelligence consists of several process collection. How do we collect all the data from, we can use any open OSINT platform or any other thing to get the data. And after that, how do we process the data, processing of the data? How do we classify the data? You know, like to process the data, we can use the machine learning. We can put label or any other thing. Exactly. And since we have labeling all the data using the processing system, using AI or machine learning, and how do we analyze the data? And the analyze data, we can also like, we can also data analytic from descriptive analytic, diagnostic analytic, preventive, predictive analytic, or even prescriptive analytic for data analytic. And after that, we can get feedback or disseminate those kind of information to certain stakeholder. Mm-hmm. That's the thing really matters in cybersecurity, because like data science also is part of the kind of thing. It's also privacy, not only about cybersecurity, but also privacy also matter in AI, because nowadays people talking about the AI ethic in processing personal data.
Yeah, that's a massive pain. We'll find a way to solve it one day. Agus, how do you plan to leverage technologies like large language models, like chats, AI, to maybe provide education for a wider scope of citizens and things like that? And yeah, just your general thoughts on utilization of AI.
Maybe for like governments is a new thing. So like for detecting a threat or attacks, like maybe we can still have some devices that use like behavioral analysis. But then for currently in our organization, like we haven't implement AI or machine learning for like mitigating the attack or prevent the attack. Yeah, we plan it like to use it in near future, because I think it's mandatory for us to use that kind of technologies.
Beautiful. Thank you. Andre, what's your reliance on AI? How do you utilize it?
Okay. In the financial sector, probably we can use AI in many forms. One of the example is through the financial verifications. So let's say that we registering ourselves, and then through the know your customers KYC process, and then we can probably combine the informations from the specific persons, and then through the some of the identity and biometrics. From that perspective, we can also AI, we thought the bank data will be not meaningful. So we need to have like big bank of the data, and say that, like Pak Yudhistira also mentioned about the behavior pattern. So we can probably making a more good experience dealing with the services. So for instance, that people accessing our services with the full informations, which is not fake, and it is probably consistent from time to time with their identity. This might be the person with the valid person in digital, and then probably can reduce the number of verifications. And that will be getting better experience in using the apps, because yeah, probably we not probably put so many things as the verification models. And the other factors that when we dealing with the large number data for the detecting the attacks, for instance, like the bot, because the bot sometimes and making the fake informations, so that we need to have like much richer information like telemetry. So the telemetry will probably like describing if there is the like mobile apps, so our movement like fingerprint from one side to other side, that will be capturing whether this is probably someone that doing the fraud. A fraud probably like they're probably displaying two different screens. The one that probably the bank of the information, then they're trying to copy paste, and you can see the telemetry that, and then you can probably just enforce this, what will be the right security measurement that can protect that. So yeah, that will be in terms of people that are dealing with the security, actually like reading the result of the security report. Sometimes it's just very too technical and it is very hard to digest the what will be the meaning. So we can use like the ChatGPT or some like a BART probably to interpret what will be the result, what will be the right actions based on this raw data. Yeah, that will be the some of the practical sample that we are dealing with.
By chance, do you work on your large language models, your own?
Yep.
That's very, very cool. Okay, so the next topic for us to touch, and Andriy, I think we'll begin with you. What's your communication with the government? How central bank regulates the industry? How they make sure that the regulation is not very static and doesn't limit your options, but being dynamic and enabling you to create your own cyber response strategy and cybersecurity strategy in general?
Normally, in the regulations from the central bank, it is quite very general. When we dealing with what will be the compliance factor that we need to put in the practical mode, so we need someone that can translate that into more practical approach. The things that we have done in the payment and financial industry is through the associations, we create like developing together the standard and based on the interpretation with the Peraturan Bank of Indonesia, and then try to communicate that development result to the bank, whether this is something that acceptable based on the regulator point of view. And once probably they have agreed, so this is something that practicality working level instruction that can be set as a guidance, because not all company can understand what would be the right security measure, what would be the right security best practice. Therefore, we need to have like a sort of a practical working guidance to make sure that it is everyone in the same page, and then same measurement and the evidence that we need to collect for the auditing.
Thank you very much. Yudi, would you like to add anything on regulation and how government helps achieve better security posture?
The most important for us as the electronic service provider, for example, is just to comply with regulation.
That's a good answer.
The second thing is, I think the government need to provide the technical guidance for the company or for the organization, because not all the company or organization know how to proceed, how to implement it, all the best practices that happen. So I think not only, okay, we as an organization, we're happy to comply with regulation, but from the government, they need to provide the technical guidance for all the organization, for the company to comply to the regulation. That's it.
Got it. Agus, anything to add on this topic?
About the regulation, we have, I can see in national level, it's called National Cyber and Crypto Agency. And like, this is the role model of us, like to implement some IT, and then also about regulation, like in government sector, because every year we are assessed with some index. It's called like government e-government index, and also like we have security information index. So that index are based on the regulation. So why, like in the government level, usually they do like follow the regulation from the central government. Although also like still because of the lack of human resources and also budget, many, maybe not central government, they have like quiet enough big budget, like some local government, remote area, they still lack of many resources. Yeah, still like their comply for the regulation maybe not as much as the government in like some more developed area like that.
Thank you. And finally, I guess we've got just a few minutes left. Let's do... Ooh, time's up. Oh my God. All right. We're going to... Maybe one line on future of cybersecurity. Yudi, let's begin with you.
The future cybersecurity at the...
One-liner.
The future cybersecurity...
Jeffrey will kill me.
The future cybersecurity more focused on data and people.
Yeah, that's a good one. Agus?
Yeah. I think about cybersecurity is more and more important in our daily lives in the future.
Andre?
Cybersecurity is about how to prevent the people as the weakest link, and just to make sure that everyone will be in the strongly silence.
Amen to this. This is where we ended. It's about people.
Stay tuned for more insights on the current state of cybersecurity across the ASEAN region in the coming episodes.
We hope you've enjoyed the episode. For more information about business growth in the ASEAN region, please visit our website www.iotbusiness-platform.com.